What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number two. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. We're talking about the economic news here and the erosion of the U.S. dollar's preeminence in the global economy. It continues apace. Russia and China are gradually ditching the U.S. dollar in favor of their domestic currencies as trade booms. Now, you need to understand that much of the prosperity of the United States following World War II was based on just two different aspects. One was the fact that the United States was the only industrialized nation that still had its industrial base intact. All the other industrialized nations had had their factories and factory machines bombed into rubble, and it took years for them to rebuild. And during that period of time, they had to come to the United States to buy machine tools, ball bearings, milling machines, all that kind of stuff, along with domestic consumer-level products. And it was a boom time. The other aspect of it, and people need to pay attention to this, was that Roosevelt's deal with Churchill to bring the United States into the war against Germany on the side of Great Britain was that Great Britain would surrender the pound sterling's role as the global currency and allow the U.S. dollar to take over. And Churchill stalled and stalled and stalled until it became very obvious he was not going to be able to save Great Britain from Germany without the assistance of the United States. So finally he capitulated. The U.S. went on in. Hitler was defeated. And following the war, all of the world's major economic powers met at this luxury resort in New Hampshire called Bretton Woods. And they hammered out the Bretton Woods Agreement. And that agreement made the U.S. dollar the global currency. Everybody would accept it. And at that point, it was tied to gold at $32 per ounce, which is why everyone used to say the U.S. dollar is good as gold. And so everybody was using it, and things were really well until the French decided they wanted to cash in all of their accumulated paper notes for gold. And it turned out that the Federal Reserve, which is not really under the control of the U.S. government, had been overprinting those paper dollars. And there wasn't enough gold to cover it all, and Nixon had to end gold convertibility. It was called the Nixon shock. And following that, in order to keep up foreign demand for U.S. dollars, they came up with the petrodollar deal. They went into the oil-producing nations in the Middle East, and they said, if you promise to sell your oil only for the U.S. dollar, you can invest that dollar back in the U.S. and get very, very rich, and we, the United States, will protect you from aggression from your neighbors, first and foremost, Israel. Well, especially since 9/11, it's become very obvious that the United States cannot keep that promise. And more nations are saying, why should we go through the U.S. dollar, which we have to pay interest on, or we have to trade some of our manufactured goods and agriculture for, to buy oil from a third party or other raw materials? And they're starting to move away. And this is what has triggered a lot of these wars. The war in Iraq against Saddam Hussein was not about nuclear weapons, which didn't exist. It was about Saddam Hussein getting permission from the United Nations to sell Iraq's oil for the euro. The incursion into Libya and the murder of Muammar Gaddafi was not because he was a nasty person, but because he wanted to sell Libya's oil for the gold dinar, a currency based on value, not debt. That's what this is all about. It's a world war over whose brand of ink and paper the world will use for currency for the next 100 years. And by the way, in this day and age of instantaneous global financial transactions, the idea of a single currency is obsolete. It is not needed, but the U.S. is trying to maintain it because they have nothing else with which to prop up our economy. Our manufacturing has declined. Our sales to other countries has declined. nobody wants our GMO agriculture. And so that petrodollar deal and forcing other countries to have to go through the U.S. dollar so that the U.S. gets a piece of the action of other countries' trade, it's essential. Without that, the whole ball of wax collapses. So last year, bilateral trade between Russia and China reached $87 billion. This year, it's expected to go over $100 billion. And they're starting to say they're going to do the settlements in the ruble and the yuan. They're not going to use the U.S. dollar or any other Western currencies. And that may be another reason why so many people are talking about it's time to get Russia and China. They're evil people. They're not evil people. They just don't want to be slaves to the U.S. currency. Primarily because it's usurious, it's unstable, it's not backed by anything ever since Nixon ended gold convertibility. In fact, the only thing that backs up the U.S. paper dollar is your future slave labor. That's it. Because every time the U.S. government needs more money, they'll issue a treasury bond, they'll send it over to the Federal Reserve, the Federal Reserve will issue new money and send it back to the U.S. government. Most of it's in a computer. Some of it will be turned into actual ink and paper and coinage by the U.S. Treasury, by the U.S. Mint, rather. And those Treasury bonds are redeemed by future taxes. Your slave labor, meaning the government will take away money from you and give you absolutely nothing in return for it. And if that doesn't meet the definition of slavery, I don't know what was. What will. We're going to do a shout out now to our honor affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. Pardon me. Tucker Carlson, doing a lot of good TV, did that absolutely amazing story on Syria. He's getting a lot of flack for it from the war hawks. And apparently he did another show just last night where he was talking about student loan debt with Professor Brian Kaplan. And basically saying that this student loan crisis is crushing an entire generation. We're having these kids, scholarships are disappearing, and to go to prices of college have soared way out of line with the rate of inflation. And so to go to college, these students are being encouraged to take out these student loans for $50,000, $60,000, $100,000. And they're assured that after they graduate, they're going to find a high-paying job and they'll pay those loans off just like that. And it's not happening. We're creating a generation of college graduates who will spend their lives as debt slaves, which is exactly what the bankers want. Now, out in California and demonstrating that there apparently is no constitutional requirement that politicians have a brain, they're facing a $1 trillion unfunded pension liability, and the California legislature is focusing on foam plastic and disposable plastic straws. They want to ban plastic bags, packing foam, and disposable plastic straws. That's their idea of a solution. It's not going to work. I mean, these are all liberal things. Oh, protect the environment. We've got to, you know, protect the landfills and everything. And I agree with recycling. I'm a big fan of the new stainless steel reusable straws as long as they're properly milled. There was a big embarrassment with one of franchise shops. I'm not going to name who they are because they did fix the issue. But they came out with stainless steel reusable straws. The edges, the ends were still raw. And kids were literally cutting the inside of their mouth with them. Let's recycle. Let's not do that. But it's not going to fix the $1 trillion unfunded pension liability because the unfunded pension liability was caused, first of all, by the decline in employment. And the decline in pension payments that are coming on in, they're running it the same way as Social Security. The money being paid in today is used to pay out for pension requirements rather than being properly invested and grown over time. And the other issue, of course, is that like so many other pensions, they invested in the mortgage-backed security fraud on Wall Street back in 2008, and they got hammered. And nobody has the courage to stand up and say, the money junkies made this mess. They should pay for it. Not the pensioners, not the ordinary taxpayers. The money junkies made this mess. Why aren't they paying for it? Why is it that every time the money junkies get caught in another fraud or they wreck another company or they're on the verge of collapse, there's another taxpayer-funded bailout and nobody goes to jail for the criminality? Something that you all should be thinking about here. Now, back to the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline. Finland has given the green light for the pipeline to proceed through their territory. So this project is moving forward. And, of course, American pipeline owners don't like it. It's going to bypass Russia and Ukraine. So Poroshenko doesn't like it because he can no longer extort Europe by threatening to shut off their share of the oil and gas coming through that pipeline. Those pipelines are very strategic assets. It's easy to think of them just as it's a pipeline. But where they go and who they serve and who gets the money for the use of the pipeline, those are very strategic concerns. All right, we're going to take a phone call. Kevin in West Virginia, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mr. Mike. I hope you're having a great and wonderful day. I have a little concern. Well, I'm confused about Bolton, the guy that Trump appointed. I know he's a war hawk. I know he's a neocon. And I know he's the progenitor of the Iraq War. My question is, I hear Roger Stone talking him up and saying that he just did what his bosses told him to do whenever he was under the Bush administration. My question is, can we trust this guy with his past, or is Roger Stone right? He just was following what his bosses told him to do, talking about the Bushes.
Well, it's a little bit of both, because when Bolton was working under the Bushes were war hawks. As to whether he is doing what Donald Trump is telling him to do, I'm less inclined to think that's the case. And again, this goes back to Donald Trump saying that he wanted to get out of Syria, wanted to start bringing the troops home, and immediately there's this reversal. And apparently it was very contentious. And even the White House spokesperson said that Trump was not happy about this, but it basically revealed he's not calling the shots. And I really do think it was a mistake to put John Bolton back in there. Because the deep state, the bureaucracy, the unelected portion of our government, they're putting together a war machine and a war cabinet to surround Donald Trump and make sure that he goes the direction they want him to go. And that's one of the reasons why we're getting all these mixed signals out of the White House. I'm seeing a major faction fight going on in there between those who just want to go on ahead and smash Syria to prove America's invincible might, the threat of nuclear war be gosh darned, and the other cooler heads who are saying, we really do need to rethink, can we take on Russia and China together and have a positive outcome, which I don't think it's possible, even if it goes nuclear.
No, I totally agree with you. There's no way we can fight China and Russia together. I mean, neither one by them sides. I mean, look at our weapons. My other question is, everybody knows that this thing in Syria is a false flag. Why can't Donald Trump be on board and see for himself that this is a false flag, too? And then under Article 2 of the Constitution, why can't Trump, you know, take executive, I mean, it gives him the executive power to fire all these people. Why don't he just clean house? And who cares about the optics at this point?
I would like to see that happen. Trump's biggest mistake coming into the White House was being magnanimous in defeat and keeping all these Obama holdovers in the mistaken impression that because he was now the boss, they would be loyal to him. And that's how it works in the world of business. That's not how it works in Washington, D.C. Unfortunately, more than a year into his first term in office, the damage has been done and he's being surrounded. And like I said, I think that fire in Trump Tower was a warning to Donald Trump that he'd better toe the line or bad things will happen to his real estate empire and possibly his family.
Isn't that racketeering? The threat in him?
Yes,
like
it is. Yeah, but our entire government is acting like the mafia right now.
Totally agree. Well, that's all I have for you. I just hope Trump will take the power that the Constitution gives him under Article 2 and get rid of these people. Fire everyone and have them reapply is my advice, and I don't know if it's good advice or bad advice, but if I was him, that's what I would do.
Well, I think it's very good advice, but again, were he to try and do that, he's in all probability going to get the Kennedy treatment. But if he does do that, if he fires everybody and starts to rehire, I'm still holding out for head of NASA.
I agree with you. Oh, and don't forget, NASA means to deceive.
Those of us who worked there, we used to say never a straight answer, which was certainly the case during the Viking Life Sciences program.
Well, you have a great day, sir, and give Miss Claire the best, and I won't take up any more of your time.
Well, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to switch over to Curtis in Nevada. Aloha, Curtis. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Mike. First of all, I agree with your caller, Catherine, that if Trump actually does something, he can be charged with that, and he might be, and that's probably one reason why he's holding back. With your last caller, he asked, why doesn't Trump just fire everybody that he knows is deep state? You know, when they went after his lawyer, I think that's what they thought he would react by firing Mueller, and that would give them the chance to go after him for obstruction or at least another 2 years of investigation. So, you know, if he tries to fire people or he comes out and says the deep state are they're working against me, they're coming up with all these things that they expect me to go along, and if I don't, I'm going to come up here and declare these people are undermining me, he's basically admitting to a civil war is going on right now. See what I mean?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Again, governments like to present a unified face to the public to reassure the public things are running smoothly. But at this point, they're failing on that. People are looking closely at what's going on in the government, and they're seeing all these different competing agendas fighting with each other. I don't think Trump is going to fire Mueller. And I would advise against it, not because of any concerns about impeachment for obstruction of justice, but Mueller has turned into a joke and an embarrassment. And the longer he thrashes around going after porn stars and stuff like that, the worse it makes him and the entire Department of Justice look.
Yeah, if Trump was actually to announce publicly that these people are working against me and there's civil war type of thing mentality that people are going to be looking at a constitutional crisis and the media is going to start saying Trump is unstable, he's irrational, I think there's another reason to remove him. See, so really, he's fighting like a tap dance. And he got the reaction he wanted, I think, when he made that announcement. And if you read Trump, that tweet that he made about the smart rockets, okay, that sounds pretty alarming, and I was alarmed. But when I went into his tweet thing, he did about almost a dozen tweets that same night. He did about three or four tweets regarding Syria, and the pattern that I saw, that an hour later was another tweet on Syria, and it was like a carrot approach after the stick approach. He did that with North Korea. He did it to the Rocket Man. Now they're BFFs. See what I mean? So I see that's his way of dealing with this. Now he's starting to back off on this talk, and now maybe it's going to get down to an investigation thing. He's basically kind of like, okay, you know, it looked like it was going to be something, but every day that goes by, it's going to diminish that chance of it being something big. You know, and that's what
okay,
I'm
well, first
that's
of all, let me back on up. I don't think Trump and Kim Jong-un are BFFs. I don't think they're even close. You're right that one of Trump's negotiating issues is to go way overboard, then pull back to what is acceptable to everybody. But in this particular case, the issue with Syria is a little more complex. He's going to be advised that he has to do something. And certainly the last thing that anybody in Washington, D.C. wants is an open, honest investigation of what actually did happen in Douma. Because at this point, it's not even certain that any kind of an attack took place at all with chemical weapons, let alone that Assad had anything to do with it. And you heard the story that we came out with earlier in the day. The White House is already saying it doesn't matter what the OPCW finds or doesn't find. It's not going to have any impact on the decision of what to do about Syria.
Yeah, the White House is saying that, but until I hear Trump say that, I'm not going to believe that's what's going to happen. And I'm hoping I'm right. You know, I mean, once again, they're putting it out there and he has to respond to it like he's on board, but not really. See, they're doing the narrative and he's just trying to kind of like diffuse what they're trying to push him to do. And that's what I'm hoping to see that we're looking at, you know?
All right. Well, maybe. I hope you're right. We're going to let you go here. We got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be back with another phone call.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go back to the phones to Ross in North Carolina. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's up here, Mike? Oh, it's Mark. Not Ron. Sorry. I just was thinking about what's going on here with Syria. I really don't think Trump knows what he's doing. I think he's out of his league. What I would have done if I was Trump is my first day in office, I would have gotten rid of all the intelligence heads. Comey, what's the other guy's name? The guy from the CIA.
Ray McGovern.
I would have had a guy like McGovern working for me. But I would have gotten rid of the other two.
You mean Mike Pompeo?
I wouldn't have a guy like Pompeo. The guy who was the head of the CIA under Obama.
John Brennan.
I would have gotten rid of him, John Brennan, and the other guy, Clapper. I would have gotten rid of Clapper. And then I would have ordered troops. I mean, when I say troops, I mean troops. I'm not talking about federal police, soldiers that I felt were loyal, and I would have ordered them to raid the FBI, the CIA, all those headquarters, Justice Department, the IRS, and maybe more of these alphabet agencies, seize every computer, every file they had, and then I'd start hunting down the dangerous deep staters that I thought, you know, might be a threat and start prosecuting them. Then,
well,
I would hire my,
there's one flaw in that theory. There's one flaw in that theory. Again, ignoring the risk that Trump would get the Kennedy treatment, is the fact that people at the top of the deep state, they have lines of communication that are outside official channels. Think about Hillary Clinton and her private email server, and how long she ran that and nobody knew about it. Trump could send the troops in to the official offices of the Department of Justice, FBI, CIA, and so forth. They're not going to find anything incriminating. Because the people who are at the top of those organizations, they have other means of communication that are specifically outside.
Yeah, but I would do. I would go further than that. I would have fired all of the heads of those agencies and even at the top, the people I couldn't fire because of civil service law. I transfer them. Like, let's say FBI agents. I put a whole mess of FBI agents working along the coldest part of the Canadian border in Alaska. And places where they have to go to work using a dog sled or a snowmobile and say, okay, you want to stay in the FBI? This is where you're going to work. I'd just do something like that with the CIA. I'd assign them to the basement of Langley, Virginia, putting files, moving files around. And then I would put people I know are loyal to me, loyal to this country especially, and I put them in place. This way he could have avoided the possibility, like you said, getting the Kennedy treatment. That's what JFK should have done, too. When JFK had those, when Operation Northwood was presented to JFK, he should have not only threw them out of the office, he should have said, no, hold on, stay right here. These were, he should have called the military police, you know, and the Secret Service, and said, I want these people arrested, period.
I don't recall that Operation Northwoods went all the way to Kennedy. I think it was nixed by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. But remember what happened when John F. Kennedy did try and break up the Central Intelligence Agency. He signed an executive order that transferred control of covert paramilitary operations from the CIA to the Pentagon. And it was never carried out because the bureaucracy always protects itself.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He didn't go far enough. At a time like this, he would have been better off to use the military. The military is usually much more loyal to the Constitution and to the American people. Not always, not the top military, not the top brass like the generals. I haven't been in the Army myself. The generals normally get to be, you don't get the flag rank normally. There are a few exceptions, unless you've got your head stuck up somebody's you-know-what, okay? Or you've
yes.
got somebody's you-know-what in your mouth. That's basically how somebody becomes a general. The best troops do not become generals. This is why you got a lot of colonels and stuff that people retire as colonel, a major, and that's as far as they've got. Not because they weren't any good, because they were too good. Now, General Flynn was an exception, okay? And you see what happened.
So was Smedley Butler.
I'm talking right now. Now, back in the day when you had, like, World War One, World War Two, especially World War Two, they had to have good generals because we were in danger. If we lost the war there, we were in danger of being occupied by an enemy force. We were really fighting for our lives at that time, for the United States. Either Germany, Japan, or both could have very possibly invaded the U.S. at the time. So they had to have good generals. They had to have people like Eisenhower, Patton, Clark, and the other guy's name. The guy was who used to feud with Patton, at least in the movie he did. Anyway. They would have had had to have good generals. MacArthur, they had to have good generals at that time and good admirals. Otherwise, we might have lost a war, even though a lot of people don't realize
that
we carried it.
One advantage of war is it does restore meritocracy in terms of promotion. Anyway, listen, Ross, I'm going to have to let you go. We got to take another break for commercials. We have more callers waiting on the line, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy, but I must admit lately I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate. I want
to
do...
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to go back to the phones to James in North Carolina. Aloha, James. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Mike. Yeah, something you said just a few minutes ago, I think that was good advice for Trump to leave Robert Mueller alone. There's an old saying, when your political adversaries are making fools of themselves, the best thing you can do is stay out of their way.
And, yes.
I was wanting to talk about what I think is probably the biggest screw-up that Robert Mueller has made so far. Now, I don't know if it has legal implications, but the early morning no-knock raid on Paul Manafort's home back in July of last year apparently came several days, about a week before Rob Rosenstein issued a memo giving him authority to do it. I don't know if you had looked at that, or I was just wondering what your take on that was.
Well, my take on that would depend on who signed the search warrant, because, I mean, the Department of Justice issues its own warrants, for raids and various other things. So while Mueller may not have officially been the special counsel, it was still reasonable that somebody who was involved in that, Rod Rosenstein, could have signed that warrant. But it does betray the fact that there was a plan to go after Trump's people and just start picking them off, looking for somebody who could be turned to build a case for either criminal prosecution or impeachment.
You know, my understanding is that Manafort's lawyer had made a motion. I'm not sure exactly whose court it was in or where it was, that about that apparently retroactive authority that was given by Rosenstein, but I don't know if that that will go anywhere or not.
Well, it depends on the judge that they get, but if you really think about it, Robert Mueller's witch hunt is totally in non-compliance with the special counsel statute, which requires, first of all, a regular Department of Justice investigation, and only after that investigation indicates that a crime has probably been committed is a special counsel supposed to be appointed. And that special counsel is only supposed to investigate that one specific crime. In the case of Rod Rosenstein, he simply came on into Mueller and said, "You're a special counsel, find something on Donald Trump."
Yeah, that's what he did. Well, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you very much. We're going to switch over to Eric in Tennessee. Aloha, Eric. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Michael. I wanted to talk about Federal Reserve notes. I noticed that there hasn't been one issued, at least from what I've seen, after 2013. And I wonder if that has anything to do with the original charter of the Federal Reserve was good for 100 years.
Well, unfortunately, I think it was in the 1930s, Congress amended the charter to make it open-ended. And I know when the 100 years came and went, everybody was saying the Fed is going to shut down, the Fed is going to shut down. And I was saying, no, Congress sold out. They made the charter open-ended. There's no expiration date on the Federal Reserve. Now, the reason you may not be seeing more recent Federal Reserve notes is, again, more and more commerce is moving over to the electronic paradigm, and they may not feel that there needs to be a lot of new notes being made. I forget what the lifespan of a of one of these cotton linen notes actually is. It's quite a number of years, though.
Yeah. Well, I think the cryptos are the way to go for the future. You know, I'm the Bitcoin guy, so unfortunately, you can't play with that over there right now. Can you play with that offshore? You can't. Okay. I wish I could help you with that, but
well, you're right.
I'll try to get you some.
I've got a 2009 and two 2013s, and that's all I've got in here. Of course, we're out here on the boonies, out in the middle of the ocean. The new bills may be slow getting out of here. What can I tell you?
Well, I just had some tree cutting done today, so I needed some Federal Reserve notes. So I went to the credit union, and I got, you know, several hundred of them. And none of them were past 2013. So I just wonder if there is some validity to that. And they printed up a bunch ahead, knowing that their whole system's going to collapse. That was my thought process.
I have no idea, but I think probably they... I'm sure that newer notes are being printed up, but probably just not as many because, again, they're trying to push toward the cashless society. They want people using the plastic, so the bank gets a piece of the action when you buy a jelly donut or a newspaper. And more importantly, the government knows you bought a jelly donut and a newspaper, which I find to be an unacceptable invasion of my privacy.
I totally agree with you there. So anyway, I'll let you go. You have a great night, and I appreciate talking to you.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. Now, interestingly enough, I was just watching on the Fox News crawl. Apparently, the New York Times ran an article saying that Donald Trump had attempted to fire Robert Mueller. Well, to paraphrase Vladimir Putin, if Trump had fired Mueller, Mueller would be fired, period, end of discussion. And the White House is out there saying, no, that did not happen. So once again, we have the New York slimes out there just trying to stir up trouble with these fraudulent claims. Now, getting on back to the economic news, as you know, one of the reasons the U.S. government is making stink face at China, especially with the tariffs and trade war, has to do with what are called rare earth elements, which right now, China is the world's biggest supplier of these. And we're talking about elements like yttrium, europium, terbium, dysprosium. These go into computers, phones, electric cars, solar panels, batteries, electronic equipment. They're critical to our modern high-tech existence. And the U.S. doesn't like the idea of China basically dominating the market. If anybody's going to dominate the market, it will be the United States of America, because that's what makes America great again. It turns out that is no longer the case. Scientists have apparently by accident discovered a massive load of rare earth metals found in the ocean off the coast of Japan. They're saying there's so much down there. They're calling it a semi-infinite supply, which is kind of a weird wordage, but they're basically saying they don't know how long it's going to last, but it's going to be a really long time. And that will break the Chinese monopoly. Of course, I don't know what the cost of extracting the rare earth elements from under the ocean is going to be, but if they're available in bulk, that might actually result in lower prices for these high-tech instruments. That being said, I think that when we talk about recycling electronics, that some way to recover some of these elements needs to be developed, cost-effective means. Because that's one of the big problems with all of this high tech. It's all put into these large chips, these boards, and it's very hard to separate out. All right, let's go back to the phones here. Teresa in Alaska, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I heard that about the dollar bill, and I have a brick-and-mortar store. So the other weekend, I had 713 bills to go through.
Yes.
And there were 100s, 50s, 20s. They were everything. What I came up with, it looks like to me, they did not print any in 05. Then they printed in 06. They did not print any in 07 or 08. They printed in 09. And then I had none from 10, 11, 12. And then I have from 13. So I think you're right. They're not. People aren't using the money as much, and it's not wearing out as fast. So they're probably not replacing it every year like they did in the past. Anyway, that was my little scientific thing.
Well, okay. I mean, not that I have a lot of cash in my pocket right now, because I don't, but I just went through all the singles, and again, nothing later than 2013. That may have been the last time they ran those printing presses. There's no rule that says they have to run all the time.
I had a lot of 2009s, but no 10s, 11s, or 12s. I had a lot
they
of
may only,
sixes,
they,
but no 7s or 8s.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I mean,
so I think,
the
I think they are skipping years because they just don't need to print.
It makes perfect sense. I mean, these bills do last a long time. And again, the U.S. Mint is actually contracted to the Federal Reserve to produce whatever portion of the new money is deemed to be necessary as currency. I imagine that they're not printing new bills all the time. And they talk about, you know, this series, that series, and every time there's a new bill that comes out, there are always very minute changes to it to try and foil counterfeiters, who are unfortunately, sadly, very clever, and none is more clever than the Federal Reserve itself, which actually has their counterfeiting operation legalized. Anything else, Teresa?
No, I just hope that puts that to rest about the bank charter in 2013 being the last bill. Thank you.
Again, the Federal Reserve's charter was amended by Congress in the 1930s to make it open-ended. So the Federal Reserve will be with us forever, except, of course, Congress can rescind the charter anytime they want to. They have to pay the Federal Reserve back for the money that was loaned by the Federal Reserve to the U.S. government in 1913. But obviously, in today's dollars, it's not a huge amount of money. The reason Congress will never rescind the charter of the Federal Reserve is the Federal Reserve is a very generous donor to congressional campaigns. Teresa, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go. And getting on back to the news here, Trump has now signed an executive order to make sure illegal aliens can't collect welfare benefits. That is an important first step to cutting off the financial incentive for illegal immigrants to come to the U.S. Because they'll come to the U.S., they don't speak English, they don't have job skills, they just register to vote Democratic, and they go on welfare. And the legal American citizens are paying the costs, and we're talking billions of dollars involved here. And so Trump has signed this executive order saying that illegal aliens who come to this country cannot collect welfare benefits for so many years after they get here. Meaning they have to come here, they have to be able to find work to support themselves, they're not going to get handouts. And I think that's probably going to be more effective at deterring illegal immigrants than the wall will be. Now, the city of Orange, California has jumped on board the bandwagon. They are filing suit against the state government over the sanctuary city status. Like so many other cities and counties in California, they've had it. They've absolutely had it. Now, as you know, President Donald Trump has requested the National Guard head for the border with Mexico, and California's Governor Jerry Brown is deploying 400 National Guard troops to their border with Mexico. Now, if you look at how long that border is, on a map of the United States, it's certainly not as long as the border involving Texas, but it's still a lot of territory, and it's questionable how effective 400 National Guard troops are going to be guarding that border, especially when you realize that only a third of them will be on the border at any one time. The others will be out resting, sleeping, cleaning their gear. So it looks like Jerry Brown is trying to have his open border and eat it too, or something along that line. Now, over in Sweden, as you know, they have a very liberal government, a very feminist government. They're in love with their open borders, and as a result, Sweden has just suffered immensely under the flood of the refugees. Sweden has become the rape capital of Europe, and now it's resulted in a new political party being founded to challenge the Sweden Democrats. And this Swedish party is anti-migrant, and it's called Alternative for Sweden, basically modeling itself after Alternative for Germany. And it's calling itself the Repatriation Party, saying that if they can win the elections and displace the Sweden Democrats, they're going to kick the refugees out of Sweden. And they're talking hundreds of thousands of these refugees will have to go somewhere else. Take them to the border and fling them across. No doubt Brussels and George Soros are going to go on in there and try and stop that. But again, this push for globalism and a one-world government is being done with complete and total disregard for the damage that's occurring, the harm that's being done to the people, the contagious diseases that are being given free rein over the face of planet Earth. And that really is the danger when you're dealing with what are called the true believers, the people who believe they serve a higher purpose, and so the laws shouldn't apply to them, that they shouldn't be concerned with the death and harm and illness that they leave in their wake, because they serve that higher purpose. People like that are very dangerous, and they get us into some of the worst disasters we've ever seen. The first war in Iraq. Oh, yes, we've got to go into Iraq. I believe the war is necessary. So even though we have to lie to get the people into it, I believe in that noble purpose. Over in Hungary, Viktor Orban is celebrating his election victory. It was a landslide. And he's now out there basically keeping his campaign promise to strengthen the sovereign policies of Hungary. And he's saying there will be no United States of Europe. He's going to stand fast against the integration of Europe, or the federalization of Europe that they're hearing out of Brussels. So I hope he's able to do it. Frankly, I hope he's wearing his Kevlar, because Viktor Orban has become threat number one to holding the EU together. And certainly he's a major blockage to this moving forward on the New World Order, one world government. Now, apparently, nine of the Remain groups in Great Britain have joined forces to demand a second Brexit referendum. They weren't able to cheat their way to victory the first time. They want to have a second try, or they want to just keep having the referendums until they get the result they want, which is not the way democracy is supposed to work. But apparently, they're backed by £1 million in funding to try and stop Brexit. And the Pros Party push is fronted by Tory Anna Soubry and Labour's Chuka Amuna. We don't care what you British people want. We want one world government, and we will have it no matter how many of you we have to kill. Now, not too long ago, we were talking about, well, actually, we got to take a break for commercials. So we'll be right back after these words.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Now, one of the things that we have seen both in the United States and in Europe is this coddling and pandering to the illegal immigrants and the refugees, to the point where a lot of the legal citizens are wondering what's going on. here in the United States of America, the illegal immigrants are getting better treatment than the legal American citizens. And it really is very angering and upsetting. And I think a good example of this is this story that came back in 2016. And it had to do with this Iraqi refugee up in Austria who violently sexually assaulted a 10-year-old boy in the changing room of this public swimming pool in Austria. And the rapist, identified as Amir A., 20 years old, claimed it was a sexual emergency because he had not had sex for 4 months. Have you not heard about masturbation? And he was, of course, convicted for the sexual assault. But an appeals court overturned his conviction because prosecutors couldn't prove that he realized the boy was saying no. Now, I'm sorry, if you're violently raping somebody, I think the body language is going to give it away whether they're on board with you or not. Because, you know, after all, I'm sure all 10-year-old boys want to be attacked in a changing room. You know, just common sense. But it really, we have countries in Europe that have passed laws saying that people who commit these crimes cannot be identified as refugees in the media reports because they're pushing that open borders, one world government agenda. All right, let's take a phone call. Scott in Texas, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, it's been a while since I called in, and I want to kind of change gears a little bit because the Oklahoma City bombing reunion is coming up the 19th next week. And I've been doing interviews with a guy that is a whistleblower. He was a CIA operative, Cody Snodgrass. And I have a ton of podcasts on my YouTube channel. And y'all can go check it out at Snafu Radio on YouTube. But I've been censored and struck, so I can't even upload for 3 months now. But I have about 25 or 30 podcasts with Cody, and he has some really good information. And next week in Oklahoma, they're having the big reunion, and from what we understand, we can't really talk too much about it, but there's supposed to be a new whistleblower coming out. We don't even know what it's about. I'm going up there. I'm going to be acting as news, and I'm going to film a lot of this stuff because, you know, it's only a four-hour drive for me. And so they invited me up as the news and blah, 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 blah. So I was just kind of wanting to get the information out to everybody. Because I've heard some people make comments on my channel about your show. We talk about your show occasionally. I hear the music.
Okay, Scott, stay on the line. We got to take a short break for station identification. I'm going to come right back to you after these few words.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.